How might the lives of our children be different if we didn't admonish them over and over again? Don't touch the stove, you'll get burned. Get down from there, you're going to fall off and break an arm. I even think about this morning, you and I are products of our parents. The way we were raised, the way we were counseled. And even me here preaching today, if it wasn't for my parents, I wouldn't be here today. There are preachers in our past that can look very favorable upon because they brought you along in the faith or brought you along in something going on in your life. And Paul's opening concern has been the division of the church. Paul challenged their immaturity, their arrogance. And verses 8 through 13, as we looked at last week, he even used sarcasm to shake them out of their smugness. Now he assures them that the words to them that are not attempt to beat them down in a shame, but to build them up because he has a special relationship with them. I think we all must resist our pride, be willing to learn, suffer, and sacrifice. And many of those things are in a negative direction. But positively, what do we need? We need leadership. Children need leadership from their parents in order to grow in a healthy direction. Communities need leadership. The church needs leadership in order for us to grow. You can even see it in sporting events. Anytime that team rises to the top, it's not about that team, but it's a lot more about that coach and that leadership and how they train and how they raise them up. And Jesus Christ gives leaders to his church. And this is what we can see in this passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. It's funny to me, but he writes, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And you know, I don't know how your father was or how your parents were, but some are very sarcastic parents, you know. And you can see it, but he's not doing it to shame the Corinthians. He's doing it out of a sense of encouragement. Paul is aware that his sarcasm may have seemed harsh to the Corinthians. So that's what he does here. He wants to warn them. He wants to admonish them. Because he considers them his beloved children. He wanted them to see the truth about themselves and their behavior. He reminds them that he has a special relationship to them that is different from the other teachers they are following. You can see even in verse 15, it says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He reminds them he is their spiritual father, having become their father through the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't think Paul is trying to take any credit for their conversion. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that it's only because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his guidance and his conviction, his Holy Spirit. But it was through his ministry. He was making things happen. It was Paul and his preaching of the gospel that God used to bring life and establish the church in Corinth. Therefore, Paul feels entitled to warn them, even with sarcasm, because he is their spiritual father. Again, he doesn't wish to shame the Corinthians. He has written that the Corinthians are smug in their spirituality while he and the other apostles are facing death every day. You think of all the things that the Apostle Paul went through, the beatings and the mocking and everything that he went through, and the good old Church of Corinth over here is just doing what they want. He didn't want to shame the Corinthians. He wanted to throw out that sarcasm to see if he could get them to pay attention. Here, the Corinthians believed they had everything together, and they weren't going to rock that boat. They were going to enjoy their life. While Paul and the apostles were going on with the necessities of life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was reading that, I think it should shame us a little too. Paul was willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was willing to put it all on the line. But I think many times in our life, we're not willing to get up off the couch. We're not willing to get up and do something for the Lord. We're not willing to change our life. We'll stretch a little bit, you know, but we're not willing to really stretch ourselves the way the Apostle Paul did. And I think that's what he's trying to do here with the sarcasm when he was talking to him last week. He's not trying to shame him, but he is trying to make him feel guilty. I think the reason Paul doesn't want to shame the Corinthians is easy to see. And how many of us have done something and then we wallowed in that guilt? Many times in our life, we do something wrong and we sit there and Satan keeps bringing us back and back and back. And that's what he didn't want to happen. He says, I don't want you wallowing in the guilt, but I warn you as my dear children. Paul deeply cared about this congregation. He wanted them to do the right thing. And he warns them about their behavior. The Corinthians needed to be warned. They were divided. They were confused. They were arrogant because they believed they were intellectual superior to their peers. Later on, they're even proud to have an adulterer in the congregation. They divided into the segments based on social class when it was time to eat the Lord's Supper. And as I read this, I was thinking, what would Paul write if he wrote us a letter today? If he wrote us a letter to Dear Grace Bible Church, what would that say? Would he tell us to get along better? Would he tell us we need to pray more? Would he tell us to preach more? Would he tell us to share the gospel more? What would he tell us to do? Even if he wrote you a personal letter. That's what here is, the book of Corinthians here is inspired, filled by the Holy Spirit, written directly to Corinth. And if he wrote you a letter today and he knows all your ins and outs of your life, what would that letter say? He has a complete knowledge of it. What area of your life needs corrected? He continues on there in 15 through 17, for though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent you unto Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He says here he doesn't want to shame the Corinthians, but he wants to admonish them to do what's right. And the Apostle Paul provides them with a good role model. The church in Corinth had 10,000 instructors or guardians, or a lot of other versions say tutors. The guardian wasn't a teacher or a tutor, but was one who made sure the student got to the teacher. The master would entrust his children to this slave, and he would make sure that he got safely to and from school. The master would entrust this child to this slave, and he would make sure he got back and forth. On the way, the guardian might help the child with his manners, and once they arrived back at home, the guardian might have the pupil recite his daily lessons to him. But he wasn't really a teacher, for as a slave, he likely didn't have the learning necessary to teach. His role as a guardian was to protect that child while he was not in his father's house. The guardian was not responsible for the child's education. The guardian was there to protect. For though he had 10,000 guardians to protect these kids, to protect each other, you didn't have many fathers in the faith. You didn't have many fathers to lead and guide you to a true understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where the Apostle Paul says he was a father through the gospel. To me, we're all guardians. We're all called to protect children along with each other. And my role as a preacher is to constantly lead you back to Scripture, that you might understand the will of God, that you might understand the Word of God, that you may understand what He's saying. It's the Word of God that should come to life. It's not the words that I say. It's not what I'm thinking. It's what the Word of God says. The Apostle Paul in verse 16, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." You know, even in 1 Corinthians 11:1, here he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Here he is to encourage the brethren at Corinth to follow his example. A lot of other versions use the word imitate. Imitate me. But the first thing I want you to see, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you." That's a beg. He is begging them. He is asking them, "Follow my example as I follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's shocking to me that the Apostle Paul, but it was through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was able to even say this. If you go back to Romans chapter 7, look at Romans chapter 7. This is where I fit in. We all know the passage, but the Apostle Paul says here, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that it is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me." The Apostle Paul is not talking about follow him as an example of his life. Follow him. To me, he's talking about doctrine. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about understanding. He's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, "Wherefore I beseech you, brothers, be ye followers of me." And that's why it's so important to go to 11:1. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We see it time and time again. Paul was called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And this is why he's saying, "I am the example." He even says in Acts that he is the first one to be called a Christian. He is the first one in the body of Christ. And he's not saying follow his life because of Romans chapter 7 there. He says, "I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do." It's no different than our life. But he's talking about doctrine and how we follow him and his life. Even in verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul tells the Corinthians that he's sending Timothy to them to remind them of his way of life. Timothy delivered this epistle to the Corinthians, and Paul intended for him to stay with them for some time so that he could provide a good example. Timothy was supposed to be the example. And I challenge you, in each and every day of your life, your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, can you say what the Apostle Paul said? Can you say, "Be a follower of me the way I am of Christ"? The Apostle Paul is not warning them here, but he is encouraging them. He encourages them to imitate him as their spiritual father. He tells them to imitate as I imitate Christ. Apparently, Timothy was converted to Christ through Paul's ministry, and he's been learning the ministry under him. Timothy will remind them of Paul by teaching the same truths, displaying the same integrity, teaching the Word of God. I love that word, imitate. You see it with kids all the time. Sometimes it gets a little bit annoying when you have little ones and they try to imitate everything you do. If Sonny's putting makeup on, Eliza's right there trying to put makeup on. We want to be an imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be an imitation of the Apostle Paul. We want to be an imitation of the doctrine that he teaches us here through the Word of God. Kids are imitating everything you do. Even at 40, I have people I look up to and I want to imitate. And I pray that I choose wisely of who I want to imitate, but especially the Apostle Paul. Here he tells us. Paul reminds us here that the Christian faith is about understanding. The truths of the Christian faith are to be worked out in our lives, changing us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents are called to be a godly example before their children. And all of God's people are called to be lights in a dark world with the example of our lives. We need to be that encouragement. We need to be that light. We need to be that change for the world around us. He goes on in verse 18. He says, "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will and will know. Not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, or in the spirit of meekness?" Paul recognizes that not all the Corinthians are going to respond to his correction. Not all are going to be followers of what he's doing. The Jewish people kept trying to come in and convert and bring them back to the law. And some will walk away from the Lord altogether. And he realizes that. Many people criticized his preaching, his ministry, and apparently thought he was afraid to come face them in person. So he decided to send Timothy. That's what people believed. Hey, just send Timothy and you can hide behind him. But Paul's saying he is actually hoping to come to them soon if the Lord will allow it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but he talks about that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The Apostle Paul never backed down on anything. And if we can imitate anything of the Apostle Paul, it was his burden for the lost as well as his boldness. He had a desire that all mankind would be saved. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of man we were among you for your sake." Most important thing to realize is that the good news, that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that sin and death have been defeated. That's what the Apostle Paul wants to get across. That's what he wants to explain. Paul would like the Corinthians to respond to his encouragement and to imitate him. But I look at this, even if you think of your parents. Verse 21, he says, "What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, or in the spirit of meekness?" You know, I can think back when I was a kid. There was a lot of us, so I don't know how my parents ever got through, but there was 7 of us. But me and Chad used to fight quite often. I can remember one time downstairs in a basement. I don't even think we were fighting this time, but we were playing basketball downstairs in a basement. You'll have to ask him the truth, but I'm going to tell you my side of the story. But we put a big hole in the sheetrock downstairs. I don't know if we were fighting or playing basketball or what. But again, parents come at you differently. When you do things correctly, when you do things the way you're supposed to do things, the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians, "Do I need to come with you with a rod or in love, or with the spirit of meekness. After all he's gone through, all the sarcasm, everything he's saying, he wants to show them love, but they're so far gone that he doesn't know how to. It's the same thing with our kids. Sometimes we have to show that rod. Sometimes we have to show that love. Sometimes we have to show that meekness. And I think if we are children, especially children of God, he's going to correct us to see that we continue to grow. Many times God will be gentle with you. He'll be soft. He'll be loving. But if we choose not to respond, he's going to do what he has to do. He will bring more painful correction to your life if you continue to follow the path of what the Corinthians do. The Apostle Paul says, I write not these things to shame you. He's not trying to embarrass them. He's trying to change them with a form of love. He's trying to change them. And he even says, I beseech you, brothers, be ye followers of me. He is a faithful father who not only encourages his children, but he corrects us as well. Our sin has left us lost, miserable, without life, guidance, separated from our Heavenly Father. We're like orphans. But God has sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins. For those who have received and trusted him, he has made us his children. But that's not the end of it. Many times in people that believe in eternal security or once saved, always saved, believe that's the end of it, and it's not. Ephesians 2:10 continues to go on to say, let's look at it real quick. Ephesians 2:10, 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We love those two passages. We use them. And salvation is all because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He paid for our sins. It's a done deal. In my personal opinion, he has reconciled the entire world to himself. That doesn't mean that all mankind will be saved. But in Corinthians later on, it talks about that he has reconciled all mankind to himself. He has already done the work. It is complete. And it's up to us to put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we always stop at 2, 8, and 9 and say, hey, I'm saved. I don't need to do anything else. But 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And this is what he's dealing with the Corinthians. They're believers. They're saints. They were called saints. They were good to go. But they had nothing to show for it. The Apostle Paul came in with his sarcasm, came in with the truth, came in and said, follow me, be an example, the way that I am of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just challenge each and every one of us here this morning, if the Apostle Paul or the Lord Jesus Christ wrote you a letter, what would it say? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it can be so powerful. We thank you for what you have taught us this morning, that I just pray that each and every one of us will have the boldness of the Apostle Paul, will have the burden of the Apostle Paul, that we will follow him the way that he imitates Christ. I just thank you for the many blessings that you give to each and every one of us, and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.